Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Soup for you.
Ayo, and welcome to No Dunks, proudly a part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Today's classic is brought to you by Neutral Vodka Seltzer. Real vodka, real juice, real bubbles. It's the one with the umlaut. I'm your host for today, Trey Kirby. Pretty weird. Here in studio from behind the decks to at the desk. They want to know what the kid did. It's Eshua Kid.
How y'all doing?
Look at this guy. He came in here with the catchphrase, desk ready. Finally got the call. Great stuff. Joining me from Toronto, thanks to the power of technology, it's my main man, Jerome Chang.
Hello, hello, hello.
A fair catchphrase.
I had way more time for this, and I still didn't come up with
That's all right. I think it's fair to try on a few here and there. And sure. Of course, we got the man making the magic happen here at the Classic Factory, JD.
Hello. Jerome, you just stole mine and added times it by three.
Look, it's tough.
Hello is just such a classic, you know. It's stands to the test of time. You know, how do you best with a classic?
Yeah, I agree. I would actually say that hello is probably the most classic opening catchphrase for anyone.
Yeah.
Hi, a close number two. But as you can see, we got being dudes lineup right here. It's the end of the season. Everybody's getting some touches. A little housekeeping before we get into the show. If you happen to be in Houston, you can come see No Dunks live on Monday, 6 p.m. at the White Oak Music Hall. Doors open at 5 p.m. You can get tickets via Ticketmaster. No fees, no charge, no nothing. Thanks to Neutral. Come and hang out with your boys. Doors open at 5 p.m. We're going live at 6 with Kelly Eco from The Athletic. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Rockets. We'll talk to him a lot about Houston. We will have a grand old time, and then you can watch the national championship game after. Should be a good time. Also, on the No Dunks world of podcasting, we've got No Buffs a little bit later today, 1 p.m. Eastern, if you're listening. We'll be joined by our special guest, Jason Concepcion, a former No Buffs cast member back in the day. Pretty excited about that one.
The triumphant return of Jason Concepcion.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. Kind of a weird episode last night, so it'll be good to talk with Jason about nerd culture and, of course, just Survivor 44 season in general. I was thinking, though, we got me, TK, we got JK, we got JD, we got JC up in Toronto, and we got another JC coming to us from LA. It's a big day for TK and the Jays.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
What do you think, Ash? You a little nervous?
Nervous for being on right now?
Yeah, man.
This is what I do, you know?
That's what I do. I was built for this. I love it.
100%.
I love it. Busy night last night in the NBA. A lot of fun stuff to talk about. So we're going to play a little bit of What You Got.
What you got?
All right, Ash, this is usually where I freestyle over the hot beat, so take it away.
What you got? I got nothing.
Bars. Luckily, though, we did have something in the NBA last night. Kevin Durant returned and finally made his home debut in a nice win over the Timberwolves for the Phoenix Suns. The Sacramento Kings smoked the Rockets 120-80. They lit the beam and clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2006. And both Joel Embiid and James Harden returned to the lineup as the Sixers beat the Mavericks in Philadelphia. So guys, what was last night's best win? The Suns, the Kings, or the Sixers? What you got, Jerome?
I mean, only one of these wins was 17 years in the making. So
yeah.
I think it's got to be the Kings. I mean, huge for the Suns and the Sixers. If anything, for them to just round out their rosters and look at look like full just going into the playoffs. But no, it's all about the Kings. I feel like we're going to be talking about that a lot during this. We already had a short drop this morning.
Uh-huh.
Shout out Skeets for having that on deck for us. But no, I mean, we saw it. You know, iPhone didn't exist. Facebook was in its infancy. Daniel Powder, you know, had a bad day, was like top of the charts, you know? So Brad Miller, shout out Brad Miller. Big shout out Brad Miller. There's really no other option in my opinion. Like there, everything looks good on the horizon for the other two, but it's all about the Kings, baby.
Yeah, what'd you think, Ash? Pretty cool seeing the Kings actually clinch their playoff berth.
Yeah, the last time they did it, I was in the sixth grade.
I was going to ask what everybody was doing back in 2006. Yeah. I was drawing blood at a blood bank, but man, sixth grade, man.
I was 11 years old last time they were in the playoffs. So, yeah, to me, it's the Kings, too. That's definitely the win, the big win. The Suns, them getting the win, it didn't really move anything. The Sixers, they kind of just moved up a extra game on the Cavs, but for the Kings to be back in the playoffs again for the first time in forever, like I said, I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So light that beam.
What were you into when you were 11?
When I was 11, the same stuff I'm into now. Basketball, Dragon Ball, and Star Wars. I haven't changed much at all.
Yeah, that's okay. Neither have I, to be quite honest. I don't draw blood anymore, but I do still like needles. What about you, Jerome? What were you doing back in 06?
I was in university hanging out super late at Tim Hortons with all of my classmates and friends. I do remember one time, like middle of the night, 2 a.m, just a long day, and Bad Day came on, and we just sat there listening, you know, contemplating life, thinking, you know, the Kings are so consistent. We'll just keep on doing this for the next 17 years. But here we are. We actually made it around.
Yeah, that was a pretty special moment last night in Houston. Obviously, the clinch didn't go well in Sacramento, but they looked at the schedule, saw they had the Rockets coming up, and knew they were going to get it done. There was a massive light the beam chant in Houston, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool. Also, Keegan Murray hit 3 three-pointers last night to pass Donovan Mitchell for the most three-pointers ever. In a rookie season, he's at 188 now. Still has time to add to that. Could possibly get to 200, I suppose. But, man, what a story for the Kings to actually be able to clinch this playoff berth. I remember back when De'Aaron Fox was entering the draft, I had to do this thing for NBA TV where I rode on the bus and just, like, walked down the aisle, sitting down and talking to all of the draft prospects. Yeah. First of all, De'Aaron Fox was just taking pictures of his watch the entire time. Like, he just gotten a sweet new Tissot watch or something because he was going to get drafted. He just had like 1,000 pictures. I thought that was cool. We also had him on Summer League a little bit later that year, and the guy just had so much charisma, and you could tell he was going to be a leader for this Kings team. It didn't happen for them for the first few seasons of his career. There were definitely some dark moments where kind of seemed like Fox had lost the light in his eyes uh-huh. compared to how he was when he came back into the league. But to see them succeed after the Sabonis trade last year, very, very cool for the Kings. Very cool to see Brad Miller getting a lot of love. There's a great piece on The Athletic today from Anthony Slater. You can subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks for only $1 a month. You know I'm loving the Bradissance here in Sacramento because the guy was an all-star way back when, so yeah, they got to talk to him now. But we'll see what the Kings do in the playoffs. Other big news in these games, of course, was Kevin Durant returning to the Suns for the first time in about 3 weeks after suffering that injury to his ankle during pregame warmups. One of the weirdest things, we've talked so many times since the Kevin Durant trade, since his injury, how every time this guy comes back, it looks like he's never missed any time. No rust ever for Kevin Durant. And we completely jinxed him. He went 5 for 18 from the field, finished with 16 points.
A little rusty.
He was rusty. He was missing shots. Rusty. What'd you think?
Just over 5 minutes left in the second that he actually hit his first bucket. But I just remember watching through just like, oh, it's all these like bunnies for Kevin Durant mid-range. Like, this is just bound to happen. But then he got to the free throw line and missed 1 out of 2. And that point is just like, you know, we're in a situation now where it's just like, oh, KD's really got to get back into it. I guess sometimes you actually do need to shake off the rust.
Yeah, and sometimes you need to turn on the Daniel Powder because he just had a bad day from the field. Sometimes it happens. A lot of credit I do think goes to Jaden McDaniels, a good player to be guarding Kevin Durant because they are shaped very similar, very quick, very long, obviously. But I did think KD was still getting to his spots. He was just missing. They had that little Wired segment with him and Monty Williams where Monty comes over. He's like, greatness doesn't shake his head. You're just missing shots, man. And that's exactly what it was. Once he is back to getting his rhythm, he'll be doing all right. And the important thing I would say for the Suns is that they won with Kevin Durant not playing very well.
Exactly.
Because don't forget, they've still got an incredible team around this guy. Chris Paul, I thought in the fourth quarter, was awesome. The way he was orchestrating a good shot every single time down for Phoenix. He finished with 8 points in the quarter, had two assists. Devin Booker only had 5 points, but it felt like he was scoring a lot more. They just played with more execution on the offensive end. Their defense was solid as well. And for Minnesota, they've had a couple of nice wins here. Apparently there's an intestinal flu kind of like ripping through their entire team. So I don't blame them for being a little fatigued down the stretch.
Yeah, I think the flu definitely got to him on that. But like you said, though, it's really good for the Suns to have like their team be good when Kevin Durant's coming back. Because whenever Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant again, they're going to be scary in the West. And I think nobody wants to see him. And this win is really good so they could keep the 4 seed, don't fall down. Or actually, they're the 5th seed, right? So they're right behind the Clippers, but they're right there under them, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, the win actually – well, the Clippers end up winning last night too. They had a nice win, but Phoenix is in the 4th seed right now. They're a half game up, and that's going to be – I mean, they're so close right now, Phoenix and L.A., the Clippers, they're going to be probably switching back and forth. And like you're saying, Kevin Durant ain't going to shoot 5 for 18.
No.
So that's a problem.
No.
For the rest of the league. As for the Sixers, I thought that was a pretty solid win. Joel Embiid back in the lineup. James Harden back in the lineup. Embiid went for 25 points, 9 rebounds. Harden had 15 and 12 assists, just making sure they got great shots. I didn't think Embiid was dominant offensively. He played a good game, had a couple of big baskets in the fourth quarter, but I thought he was truly showing his impact defensively. Had that monster block on Luka Doncic late. Basically a defensive dagger. He was guarding Reggie Bullock for a big part of the fourth quarter and in the second half. Just basically standing in the middle of the lane, daring the Mavericks to take open threes. And they could not hit him. Sixers did a good job of running him off the line and making the Mavs think about it. But the Mavs really went cold. 3 of 12 from 3 in the fourth quarter for Dallas, which just ain't going to cut it. But the play of the game to me was 2 minutes left in the game. James Harden almost fumbles the ball trying to grift a foul. So it looks like he has an open jumper. Could have easily taken it, but he doesn't. He passes it to Embiid. Embiid has the ball in the at the elbow, the high post. He's thinking about attacking. The shot isn't necessarily there. So he moves it. It passes two more times. The ball ends up with Tobias Harris on the post. Luka too small on him. An easy floater for Tobias Harris to give him the bucket. And that to me was just like the Sixers giving up so many good shots, so many shots you would be okay with stars taking, whether it be Harden or Embiid. But instead, they just worked the ball, got the best shot. They were playing for each other out there. That was a grinded out kind of win for Philly. I was super impressed.
Yeah, disappointing for the Mavs for sure. And I was watching the game. I think in the final 4 minutes of the game, there was a couple bad whistles. Not necessarily bad whistles, but whistles that didn't go their way. They had the offensive foul for Kleber. Bullock fouled. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. had a loose ball foul on a box out. And that just kind of like killed all of the momentum that they had. Because I think right before that, I think is when Luka came down and hit the three. And it just killed it. The whole game was over. And the Mavs are really sliding right now. They look awful. And they're sitting outside the play-in tournament. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with them, man. What can you say about the Mavs?
Well, the weird thing to me, I mean, a tough loss for the Mavs. They played really well through three quarters and then fell apart in the fourth quarter. I think it's the 13th time this year they've blown a lead of 10 or more points. I actually thought they played pretty hard.
Yeah.
All things considered, I thought they did some nice stuff in the third quarter. They went zone, completely took Philly out of the game, and Embiid was out of rhythm. Luka Doncic was smiling quite a bit in this game.
Exactly.
After he had said that he hasn't been playing with the kind of joy that he has, but the fourth quarter was bad. Kyrie Irving, his last basket was with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. His last shot attempt was with 6.5 minutes left. It was the only time he took a shot with Luka on the court in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia was doing a great job of forcing the ball out of Kyrie's hands, out of Luka's hands, trying to make any of those Mavericks role players beat him, which they could not. But also, it doesn't feel like Luka and Kyrie are interacting with each other enough right. on the court. You're never seeing Luka set a screen for Kyrie. You're rarely seeing Kyrie set a screen for Luka. There's a lot of possessions where Kyrie's just kind of hanging out mm-hmm. in the corner, waiting for a kickout pass. I don't know. It does not look perfect right now. And then you see the postgame comments from Kyrie Irving. He says it's kind of a cluster right now. Fighting for the play-in is not what I expected. They're 9-14 since the trade for him. I was probably the biggest backer of this trade mm-hmm. of all of us here on the show. There was certainly a risk, but I thought it was like a further down the road risk.
Right.
No way I was anticipating Kyrie and Luka getting worse, being worse. Obviously, the defense is a problem, but yeah, bad stuff for Dallas right now.
Yeah.
The chemistry is not there. And like you described that final play key play with the Sixers that ended in the Tobias Harris short like mini hook at the end there, like mm-hmm. you were seeing the exact opposite, like you guys were describing on the other end with the Mavs, where it just seemed like it just lived or died on whether Luka would hit the big shot, which he did one of the times, but then, you know, you see the next time he gets that, like Joel Embiid gets that big block, and it's just, you know, two teams with championship aspirations, one looks way better equipped for playing in the clutch than the other.
You guys killed it. I mean, that was an incredible first question. Straight up sicko mode. Moving on, we saw a couple career highs last night. Jrue Holiday became the 14th player this season to score 50 or more points, putting up a career high 51 in a blowout win against the Pacers. One notch down on the scoring explosion chart, Talen Horton-Tucker became the 55th player to score 40 or more this season. He put up a career high 41 in a Jazz win over the Spurs. Esh, what was more surprising, Drew's 51 or THT's 41? What you got?
More surprising. I think it's THT.
Yeah.
Drew, he was giving everybody buckets last night, like all over the floor, post-ups, mid-range, whatever. But we see him do stuff like this on occasion. Like, this happens every once in a while. We know he's pretty consistent. THT, though, I mean, he only averages 10 points a game for his career. Really right under 10 points.
Wow, actually.
Yeah, so he goes out there. Drops 41 last night. He did it last year almost to the day, like a week away from there, dropped 40 against the Warriors. So he does it every once in a while, might drop a 40 piece, you know, close to 40. But yeah, that's the most surprising for sure.
Yeah, this is the time to do it. End of the season, you are always going to see an unusual player put up a huge stat line. Who can forget Ben Uzo with a triple-double the very last game for the Toronto Raptors? But yeah, THT, he had 6 threes last night, which I guess was the key to mm-hmm. getting to 40 points. Not necessarily a three-point shooter, but when he's hitting and when he's finishing the way he was inside, I guess that's how you get up to 41. And like you're saying, 40 in a game last year for the Lakers around the same time. This is when you get weird numbers in the NBA right at the end of the season. But, man, some of the finishes he had a righty on the left side where he kind of turned back his body, which I thought was nice. Yeah. You see that from THT a lot, but even more impressive, I thought, was he was finishing with his left hand. That's one of the main concerns I remember Lakers fans having with THT, is he never used his left hand. It was good to see last night, though. What do you think, Jerome? Drew's 51, THT 41.
I'm going to go with Drew's 51 because, like Esh said, for sure, it's not something that like is foreign to Drew to do. But it's just when you look at the game itself, you would think if Jrue Holiday is going to have a 50-point game, that is probably going to be really quiet for the rest of the team. But no, Giannis Antetokounmpo has a 38-point triple-double. Brooke Lopez still goes for 21 points. And then you mention how THT does it on 6 threes. Jrue Holiday does it on only 3.
Yeah.
And so, if anything, like it felt like the quietest 51-point game I've seen. If you watch the like the NBA highlight recap for the game last night, you're going to see Giannis get a number of poster dunks in big plays. You're going to see Grayson Allen with one of the dunk of the year candidates potentially. And then from an editor's perspective, knowing if I had to put this together, this package, it's just so funny. You need to mention that a player on your team got 51 points. So you have to fit in, you know, a couple of hook shots, a couple of floaters, just very quiet things. And then at some point just point out, oh yeah, and Jrue Holiday got 51 points, a career high. And so on that end, no, it's not surprising for Drew to get it, but it feels like if you list, if you were told that Drew Holiday was going to get a 50-point, everything else feels so surprising that happens around it. It's almost like a microcosm of the Bucks this season that they could quietly run up these numbers, be the have the best record in the league, and we don't really talk about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Giannis had 38 points, 17 rebounds, and 12 assists, and didn't have the best game on his team. That's that's crazy, man. Watching
Drew had 51 and 8 assists. It's not even like he was just gunning.
Yeah, like, he had 51, 8, and 8, right? 51, 8, and 8. So he almost had a triple-double, too, a 51-point triple-double. Very close, just right there with Giannis having a triple-double. And like you said, everything, it was quiet. He was just giving them buckets, so... It is weird. Like it is a weird thing, Jerome. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they had two players go for 38 and 8, which I think is probably the first time in NBA history that's happening. But watching both Giannis and Drew Holiday, it looked like they were the two strongest men on earth. Like Giannis might actually be the strongest man on earth, at least maybe in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the Pacers didn't have anybody who could really check him. He didn't get a foul call at one point, so he just completely. We're gonna be talking anime here. Super Saiyan mode, is that a thing?
Saiyan.
Super Saiyan. Yeah.
Okay, good. I wasn't actually sure how to pronounce it. I've read it so many times, so I wasn't sure how to be Saiyan. But he went Super Saiyan mode, and he was just dunking all over everybody, including Jalen Smith, who took a tough one on the face. And then you mentioned that Grayson Allen dunk as well, where fell so hard. I wasn't sad, but nonetheless, it was funny watching because Giannis, you expect him to be the strongest guy out there. But you mentioned it, Jerome. Only three threes for Drew Holiday last night. He took one long two, and everything else was in the lane. It almost kind of felt like the Bucks were going at Jordan Wara. I don't know why. Like former Buck Jordan Wara. They wanted to prove a point, and it was kind of like Michael Jordan-y to me, where it's like, there's not a lot of motivation to beat the Pacers this late in the season for the Bucks, but how about a guy we used to play with? Let's take it out on him.
Got to make something up.
So Jordan Wara was their B.J. Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Great call. Yeah. And it looked like Michael Jordan versus B.J. Armstrong out there. The way that Drew was just like, anytime he would touch a Pacer with his shoulder or with his forearm, they would go flying. It was like the easiest way to create space, and then you're just saying, dinking and dumping, getting his way to 51 points. That was an awesome performance. For Milwaukee on the night, they scored 149 points. They gave up 136, but kind of everybody just agreed, we're not playing defense this game. We play defense every other game, say the Bucks. We're
the
fine.
Pacers shot like 50%+, and the Bucks like countered with 64%. Like, it's just...
ridiculous.
Yeah. The Bucks made 10 threes last night. That's hardly anything. They turned the ball over 18 times, and they still scored 150 because they've got the two strongest men on earth. Moving on. My worst fears were realized last night as the Lakers used their loss on Sunday as inspiration for revenge against the Bulls last night. Even worse, the Lakers got multiple taunts in on Patrick Beverley. Let's take a look.
Price, and that is indeed the case for Reeves.
Hell no.
Beverley was pumped faking, could not get LeBron in the air. Now we'll take a long one. Rebound Vanderbilt.
That's LeBron yelling, hell no, at Patrick Beverley as he pump fakes. A little bit later on, the dagger from Austin Reeves hits the floater, and Reeves hits Patrick Beverley with the too small taunt after Beverley did it to LeBron in their last matchup in L.A. So, Jerome, what you got? Which is the better Patrick Beverley taunt? Hell no.
It seems like it should be obvious that it's the too small retort, but it just that was going to happen. You knew it had to happen, especially if they get the revenge win. It's the hell no for me. If I was on the court and I had the ball in hand and someone just looked at me and said, "Shoot. It's fine. I don't need to do anything about this."
Yeah.
It would destroy my confidence at that point. There's no, like, to just yell hell no on pump fakes.
Yeah, not even on the shot, right? Just the pump fakes.
You know, that's the verbal too small.
Wow, that's the verbal too small?
Yeah, it's just like there's no, like, you got no shot. There's nothing going on. It's just, it's minimizing a person at that moment. Yeah, no, for me, it's the hell no. It's almost like, again, LeBron plays chess while everyone plays checkers. He knows. They probably expect him to hit him back with some sort of too small, but LeBron's way bigger than Patrick Beverley. There's no point to doing the too small. So he's just going to look at Pat Beverley and say, "You never bothered me to begin with."
Yeah, LeBron did I guess Pat Bev already had his too small, and he had a little bit of a comeback at LeBron. Like, LeBron went to throw a pass, and Beverly knocked it out, and he hit him with the Mutombo finger,
which I thought was
hilarious. You knew the too small was coming, though. Even Patrick Beverly said afterward, he's like, yeah, I knew somebody was going to too small.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it was Austin Reeves. Sounded like a dad who was proud of his kid or something. What'd you think, Ash? The hell no or the too small?
To be honest with you, I was going to go with the too small, mostly because of the clip where he was doing the Shannon Sharpe impersonation afterwards. But I think, Jerome, you kind of convinced me, man. The hell no is, that's the one for sure. Because if I'm playing pickup, I know that there's guys at the gym that I do this to all the time, like literally. But I think LeBron should have waited till the shot in the corner on Pat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, to do it on a pump fake, that's ultimate disrespect. Like, he's like, don't even try.
Not even jumping.
Yeah, don't even try. Like, I'm going to block you. I'm not going to do anything. But if he was in the corner and he hits him with the, hell nah, and just turns, just turns, then you're like, oh,
it's on.
Yeah.
It is the I'm not shooting version this, of Steph Curry's, like, turnaround.
Yes.
When he, like, looks away. It's that. It's the look away because I know it's not going in.
Yes.
I'm not even looking at the basket. I'm going to go for the rebound.
Yeah, there were some more great moments in this game as well. Basically, like, LeBron, I think he was maybe being guarded by Ayo Dosunmu or something like that, and he just happened to be right over by the Bulls bench. He's basically, like, pointing out Patrick Beverly. He's like, he's in and you're not. You're sitting on the bench. He's playing me right now. So I thought that was hilarious. There was a basketball game here as well. The Lakers completely smoked the Bulls, 38-10 for Anthony Davis. LeBron went for a mere 25 points, hitting that over just barely. But basically, the Lakers starters dominated every single moment that they were in the game. The bench would come in. The Bulls would come back. But then, unfortunately, the Lakers would put their starters back in. The Austin Reeves, the too small, he just did it at the inopportune time. We saw the peak of the too small, but it was cool that he hit him back. There's a hilarious clip of LeBron talking about it post-game in the locker room wearing just the towel. He says, they asked him what it meant that Austin Reeves hit the too small on Patrick Beverly. He says, that AR always got my back. Always. Even though he loved Kobe back in the day more than me. I forgive him. They dug up an old Austin Reeves tweet where he basically says Kobe is better than LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron obviously is familiar with that, but I think once you too small on behalf of your teammate, it's all good.
Ultimate I got your back moment. What a great teammate Austin Reeves is to make sure that he gets revenge for LeBron on too small. Because, you know, LeBron can't handle himself, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So you're telling me You're hell knowing people at the pickup gym.
Yeah, I'm a little disrespectful on that, for sure.
You got to be a too small guy, too.
No, I've never hit anybody with a too small, though.
No?
Never.
What about this week, maybe?
Yeah.
Work it in?
Yeah.
you got to get it in before it's completely before it's jumped gone. The shark.
But yeah.
In other East action, Knicks pulled away late to beat the Heat, despite losing Julius Randle to a sprained ankle in the second quarter. And the Nets beat the Rockets thanks to 31 from Cam Johnson, 27 from Mikal Bridges. So let's take a quick look here at the Eastern Conference standings. They are changing all the time. But a win for Philadelphia last night, a win for New York last night, a win for Brooklyn last night means things basically stay the same in the top six of the Eastern Conference. Three straight losses, though, for Miami right now. If they're going to make a run at actually making the playoffs rather than having to go through the play-in, you got to figure out something pretty soon because they have been looking pretty poor. Knicks feeling kind of bad for these guys. Little snake bit, I think, ever since they went on that win streak. Jalen Brunson has been in and out of the lineup. He finally came back last night, only to lose Randle to an ankle roll, which poorly timed, but 24 points from Emmanuel quickly off the bench. Hope this guy wins Sixth Man of the Year. He'll probably be my pick at the end of the season. Also saw that Tom Thibodeau played five guys the entire fourth quarter last night. Classic stuff. Any thoughts on these games?
Just that the Knicks losing Julius Randle, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the Knicks to Knicks. Does that make sense? You don't want the Knicks to Knicks when they go into the playoffs. You want them to be as healthy as possible and 100% as possible so they can get everything together. So that's tough. That's a big blow for them.
Yeah, I think Randle's played every game this season. Obviously played last night, but only got in a handful of minutes before he went out. So we will see the diagnosis today. Hopefully he's able to get back on the court as well. Out west, though, the Thunder beat the Pistons just barely on Jalen Williams' game-winning putback, a near buzzer beater. I think there was 0.5 seconds left on the clock after. You consider that a buzzer beater, Jerome? What'd you think?
Honestly, we talked about the Kings earlier. If the Kings didn't have the season that they had, like, the feel-good story of the season would be the Thunder, in my opinion. And, you know, you would think a team that loses a top pick in Chet Holmgren wouldn't be making any noise. But then you got J-Dub here, who's, like, in the mix for Rookie of the Year. And beyond having, like, such a good season, having, like, really good moments like that, I think that's the kind of thing that you need. Like, a game winner like this, I don't know, things feel good in Thunderland. We did that short a few weeks back where it's, like, it must be feel good to be a Thunder fan. And, you know, it's things like this that's happening this season that's, like, showing it time and time again.
Yeah, man. Jalen Williams, another great game. We obviously had the game winner, finished with 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. He just scores from all over, takes all kinds of different shots. A lot of dunks this season, a lot of three-pointers. I've been trying to come up with, like, my comparison for who he reminds me of. Here's what I've come up with so far.
Okay.
Luol Deng with swag. Like, I think they're kind of similar players in that they can guard a lot of positions. They score from three. They score from the mid-range. They score at the rim. But Jalen Williams, I think, has a little bit more, just a little more verve than Luol Deng does. Luol Deng, more of a workman-like player.
No, 100%. I agree with that.
All right. Here's another one I'll throw at you. Best possible version of James Posey. Like, James Posey, more of a role guy, but, you know, a versatile defender, three-point shooter. But imagine if he had a handle and could go to the rim like Jalen Williams. Mm. Yeah. Not selling you as much on that one, huh?
No, actually, I might like that one better. I don't know why, but I think I like that one better.
All right. Final possible comparison here. Andrew Wiggins, if his best skill was savvy instead of athleticism. No?
Elaborate.
This one's a no.
You got to elaborate.
Okay. I feel like Andrew Wiggins is a very good big wing who kind of does it all. He's a good three-point shooter. He's obviously a great dunker. He's kind of cut out the mid-range of his game, but he's still got it there. He can score in the post. I feel very similar about Jalen Williams. Also, they're both very versatile defenders. They hit the glass. But Wiggins is a much better athlete than J-Dub is, whereas I think J-Dub just knows how to play the game like a 10-year veteran, despite the fact that he's only a rookie this season. So if savvy is your calling card like it is for Jalen Williams, I kind of think, and athleticism is for Wiggins, what if you just flipped him? Really makes you think. Really makes you think.
Okay.
I'm going to be thinking about that for
Let us know in the comments. Obviously, Luol Deng with swag was the best one.
I like that
but
one.
But I'll keep thinking we'll about it.
We'll go with that one.
Also, the Clippers beat the Grizzlies. No Kawhi, no Paul George. They snapped Memphis's 7-game win streak. So let's take a quick look at the Western Conference standings. That was a bad loss for the Mavericks last night, because coupled with the OKC win, a full 1-game lead for the Thunder, the 10th seed in the Western Conference. Westbrook was awesome last night, 36 points, 10 assists. There's an incredible picture of this guy flexing on the court. I think he got an and one, maybe on Ja, and the picture is taken from above. He's flexing in the middle of the lane, and somehow he's looking right at the camera, even though it's in the ceiling. I don't know how he did it, but Westbrook,
it's a perfect picture,
went 5 of 5 from 3 last night. You're not counting on that every night, but the way he's pushing the pace, the way he is in the lane all the time, has really, really worked out for the Clippers. I didn't expect that to be the case, so I'll take an L on that one, because Westbrook definitely won them this game. Yeah. And with Paul George down with injury, with Kawhi doing his load management, this is a nice win for the Clippers, because, like we mentioned earlier, they are still in a race for potentially getting home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. We shall see. Jerome, I was wanting to get your take. I don't know if you saw Dylan Brooks' pregame outfit last night. Black bucket hat, white dress shirt, black mailman shorts,
white
crew socks,
all the
and black shoes.
Right. At this point, with all the different Dylan Brooks looks, it's almost just like a silhouette that, like, I'm not able to decipher anymore. He is just trying a new thing each time. I don't know any of them particularly hit. but I guess I should rep as the Canadian on the podcast. Looks great. Honestly, killing the game. Like, do your thing, Dylan. I think the other thing I also want to mention, just, it's so funny. We talked about the Jrue Holiday game earlier. It's like Jrue Holiday, 51 points on 3 3-pointers. Russell Westbrook, 31 points on 5 3-pointers. Like, they took each other's stat line. tonight.
Yeah, they kind of did. And hey, Dylan Brooks, 30 points last night, 12 of 24 shooting. You'll take that. I also saw that my main man, Chuck Anderson, at No Pattern on Twitter, he said that Dylan Brooks's fit looked like Beavis and Butthead from the waist down, which I thought was awesome. JD, let's see this playoff picture real quick. Things are changing every night. So we're looking at the matchups here. Play-in tournament is staying the same in the Eastern Conference. Right now it would be the Heat versus the Hawks in the 7-8 matchup. Raptors-Bulls in 9-10. Out West, it would be the Timberwolves after their loss last night would be playing against the Lakers, who moved up a slot. That's the 7-8 matchup. 9-10 would be Pelicans versus Thunder. And then we've got some 4-5s, some 3-6s. Ash, you're looking at the playoff picture. If the playoffs started today, which they do not, we still got a week left of the regular season. What kind of first-round matchups are you interested in here?
If the playoffs started today, I think the Warriors-Kings series would be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be a test, obviously, to see where the Warriors are, see if they are back to being the Warriors or not, or if they're just going to be this mediocre Warrior team that we've seen, and especially starting on the road, see if they could even take one on the road. They always do, right? Since Steve Kerr's been the coach, they've always taken one.
Yeah, they always have, at least.
So that matchup would be pretty good just to see, I think.
What you think, Jerome? What you looking at here?
It is Warriors-Kings also for me. I kind of wish that the rankings were reversed, that like the Warriors were in the three spot, because it would almost feel like the Sacramento Kings were the 2023 We Believe Warriors going against the 2023 Golden State Warriors. Just
that's a good call.
There's just like an element there that like it's such a great story, and yeah, like it's such an interesting, like, this juncture, if the playoffs start today or even in a couple of weeks, like where both of these teams are at, like where the Golden State Warriors are. They're the defending champions, but like, do they have enough in the tank? Will they be healthy enough to carry through? It seems like they should be able to handle the Kings, but you never know at this point. And so, yeah, that's really the one. Like, you want to follow the Kings as far as they go, and the fact that they're going against the defending champs is going to be such a interesting test in the first round.
Gonna be a spicy time, can't wait to see. But I mean, we got 5 or 6 games left for every team. This could all completely change.
Yes.
We shall see. We talked games, we'll talk news after the break. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back with No Dunks during the break, as you came clean.
Yeah.
You told me, yes, indeed, I have too smalled someone once upon a time, but in a different way.
Yeah, in a whole different way, because I always hit people with the, oh, you're too small, Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry, or even if you're too big, Tom and Jerry. That's the mismatch, and that's what we're working with.
I'm gonna work that into my lexicon as well, because Stacey King on the Bulls broadcast, he's always calling out Mouse in the House.
Yeah.
That's a classic. But Tom and Jerry takes it to the next level.
Yeah.
What about you, Jerome? You ever too small somebody?
It's very rare that I am bigger than someone on the basketball court. I do remember one time I had to guard someone just far bigger than me, and they were posting me up nonstop, and I really had no shot at doing anything. So the only thing I could do was really, you know, play the mind game. And I just, every time he started backing in, I just started singing Love in This Club by Usher. And he was very uncomfortable with that. It really threw him off his game. And, you know, not getting any, no bunnies for them at that point.
Mind games, Jerome. I love it. Mind games.
100% I would start thinking about not basketball if someone's saying I want to make Love in the Club in the post up. Well, let's hit the up-down report.
Prepare your movies. It's the up-down report.
A lot of news. Go through some topics at you guys, and we will say if they're good or bad. up or down. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, Becky Hammon, and Greg Popovich have all been elected into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2023, with a formal announcement expected to come at the Final Four in Houston this weekend. Pretty good class. But is it the best ever? Up or down, 2023 Hall of Fame class is the best ever. What do you think, Ash?
I'll go down.
Okay. Why is that?
Okay.
I don't know.
That's a good reason, man.
I mean, look.
I love it.
These are great players.
Yes, yes.
These are all great players. Dwayne Wade, 3 titles. Dirk, 1 title. Pau, 2 titles. Tony Parker, 4. Pop, 5. Becky Hammon, defending WNBA champion coach. But we're not talking about any of the top 5 players of all time.
That's really why.
That was holding you back?
Yeah, that's really why. Because I came here wanting to say up, but then I got to thinking, I'm like, I mean, I just feel like when Jordan went in, that kind of just takes it. It's Michael Jordan, you know? It's like
the Jordan year, I do have it. So 2009, we have Jordan, David Robinson, Jerry Sloan, and John Stockton as like 4 of the big names in there.
That's a good one.
You see what I'm saying?
That is a good one. I also have the 2020 Kobe, Tamika Catchings, Tim Duncan, KG, and Rudy Tomjanovich class, which stacked. I feel that's stacked.
That's the best one right there.
I think that's the best one in my opinion.
See, that's the reason I went down. Jerome had my back. Thanks, man.
I got you. Because you like the 2020 class doesn't mean you can't like the 2022 class.
Yeah, you're right.
Or 2023 class as well. To me, a lot of my personal favorites in this one, like I've got Dirk, Wade, and Powell probably all in like my top 10 favorite players to ever watch in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I love this class. But if you're talking about like career achievements, rankings on the all-time list, it probably is more so similar to 2018, which was Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Ray Allen, and Grant Hill. A lot of incredible players, some MVPs. But, you know, like we're saying, not a Michael Jordan or a Shaq making the list, that kind of thing. But should be a really fun class. Really looking forward to the speeches. Wade should be interesting. I'm sure Pau Gasol will be a tearjerker. And Dirk probably will be one of the funnier speeches we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Ash, who do you think they let give the final speech of the night? It's going to be between Wade, Dirk, and Pau, you would think. Who's like the biggest name of those?
Probably Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, probably so.
I'd probably be Dwayne Wade getting the last one.
Yeah. Dwayne Wade is probably the biggest name. Pau will always have the Kobe association, so there's a chance that we close out on that.
Yeah, let us know down below in the comments. Tweet at us. What's the best Hall of Fame class of all time? And who do you think is going to actually give the keynote address of the evening, because that's always interesting to see. Moving on, Variety reported this week that Charles Barkley and the world's most famous Gayle King, are finalizing a deal that could see the pair co-hosting a weekly primetime show on CNN. Nothing's finalized yet, but it seems like something could get done in time for the fall slate. Jerome, are you up or down on Charles Barkley hosting a primetime CNN show?
I'm up for Charles Barkley hosting anything, but then CNN show, I'm here. Like, I don't know
sideways?
Where I'm going.
Yeah. Secret option.
You got to imagine, like, Charles Barkley in media, it just feels like a ringer in any situation, but I need more information on what's going on here. I don't know. I really just don't know what it's going to happen, but I believe in Chuck.
Yeah, I saw some reporting that it might be like a Larry King Live sort of deal where it's like Chuck and Gayle, old friends from the Oprah Winfrey show back in the day. Literally, they met on the show like in 2005 or something like that, and they've become friends ever since. And Charles says, I'm only even considering this because of my respect for Gayle King. But they might do like celebrity interviews or something like that. I saw they asked Barkley if he would ever do like a daily news show. He said, that is never going to happen. You will never get me working every single day, which 100% respect. What about you, Ashy, up or down on this Chuck show? Tune in?
Yeah. Yeah, just because it's Chuck.
Just because it's Chuck? Yeah. Worth checking out?
You know, he just says whatever he wants to all the time.
Yes.
And everybody either loves it or hates it, and he's like, I don't care, and he keeps going. Just like I think you guys talked about it yesterday, right?
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm always up on Chuck.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he shoots from the hip quite as often as he does with regards, you know, to pop culture, politics, as much as he does about basketball. We shall see.
You know
what about
he
you, JD? Are you interested at all in Charles Barkley's non-basketball takes?
Very, very interested. I like you guys, I'm a huge fan of Chuck. He was my favorite. He still is my favorite inside guy. He was probably the nicest to us outside of Ernie.
Sure.
And he's just great. I'm curious to see the chemistry between him and Gail King. Like, just trying to rein him in and corral him is going to be just great television, I think. So I'm 100% up.
Yeah, I messaged Kevin Durant. He said he was down on this, actually. not a surprise.
Kevin Durant's got to go on this show. That's the key. Like, for this to be like a real up, KD needs to get on, and then Jordan needs to get on for two sit-downs. That's the premiere. The
it's like a good cop,
premiere.
Bad cop thing. Gail is super kind to everybody, and you know, Barkley's riling him up. I can see it happening. On a recent episode of All the Smoke, Isaiah Thomas called out his longtime nemesis, Michael Jordan. As he said to Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, quote, "You got on national television and you called me an asshole, and then you said you hated me." That's what Isaiah Thomas said of Michael Jordan. "You said that on national television," Zeke continued. "Now, if you didn't mean it, get on national television and apologize for it. Now, if you meant it, let it ride as it is." Jerome, up or down on Michael Jordan never apologizing to Isaiah Thomas?
Wait, up on never apologizing?
No,
or
do you think he will apologize?
Absolutely not.
Yes. I believe he will let this one ride it as is.
We talked about best Hall of Fame class ever. Best Hall of Fame speech ever. Michael Jordan. What about that speech told you he was ever going to apologize for anything?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, maybe you get them both on the Chuck and Gale show.
See, there you go.
It's a soft landing spot, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Ash? You think Michael Jordan will ever apologize?
That'll never happen. That'll never happen. And he shouldn't either, by the way. No.
Yeah, you don't think enough time has passed?
No. I mean, yes, but...
It's only been 40 years.
Like, Jordan is Jordan. And if he don't like him, that's fine. Like, they are grown old men.
They are grown old men.
Like, there's no reason. Isaiah Thomas is still talking about, "I need an apology. Quit being an asshole to me." And like, for what? Like, you know, like if they don't like each other, you don't have to like each other. Just because you both play in the NBA does not mean that you have to be cool with each other. So, shut up.
People have enemies out there. That's definitely true. You ever held a grudge like this?
No, I'm a forgiver, man. I forgive everybody. Like, you could do the worst thing to me, and I'm like, come on, man, let's go grab lunch. That's me.
I like that. That's maturity right there. And that's why we're talking about basketball instead of playing it professionally. What about you, Jerome? You ever hold a grudge like this?
No. Not at all. I'm not even close. If someone too small me, I'd be like, you know what? You are taller. It's fine.
Me personally, I hold grudges like this all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't reveal who they are because someday they may hire us back.
I'm with you, Trey. I'm with
you. Anyways, let's talk food because there's a new restaurant opening in Toronto, NBA Courtside. Literally a basketball-themed restaurant run by the NBA. There's basketball art and memorabilia all over the place, a merch store, tables made from courts. Basically all the stuff that makes NBA Courtside, quote, kind of like a Hard Rock Cafe for the NBA, as Blog TO put it in their preview of the restaurant. Jerome, you up or down on the NBA Courtside restaurant?
I have to be up. I live in a country that is predominantly based in hockey. I have struggled throughout my entire life going to bars and asking them to put on the Raptor game, let alone an NBA game. So if you're going to give me any dedicated space for the sport that I love, I'm going to have to be up on that.
What do you think, Ash?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I'm up on it. It looked awesome.
It looks pretty cool.
I would love to go. I love stuff like that, obviously. In Orlando, they used to have something called NBA City Restaurant, and it was not as cool as this one in Toronto, but it was pretty cool. They had like a court outside you could shoot on. They had all the merchandise, and it was a restaurant, too. You'd go in there, watch games, see NBA TV was always on. So it was cool. Yeah, I would love that. I'm up on it.
NBA TV, they used to have a great show, I remember.
No.
They had a really good show from 2013 to 2019.
I used to watch it every day.
Yeah, that was a great show. I love that show.
One would say that's how day, I started
but I like this show
day.
A lot better, to be quite honest. So I don't know if they are going to be live streaming from YouTube, but I know they got YouTube up there in Canada. Feel free to throw it on. Jerome, I think you said that you had a friend who actually got to check out Courtside, right?
I knew some people who got to get the early look at it. And so up on the environment and the atmosphere, middle to down maybe on the food. But I guess like maybe that's not what you're really going to a sports-themed bar for. So you're not worried too much. But no, they said the experience is really cool. The retail area is up in the front. And then as you move back, it's kind of going through like the player journey. So they have like college artifacts in one section, moving to the league itself. Some of the tables are made out of like actual courts from like previous like historical games. And then I think they have a lounge area, like a 19 plus lounge area afterwards. So it is like a real like journey through the NBA. And yeah, I think like just all the Easter eggs that you're going to have when you're like going to it, like they're opening, I think, about the playoffs, so couldn't be better timing. And so yeah, I'll probably have to check it out at some point.
Yeah, we absolutely need a Jerome report. I think it said on the website that reservations and walk-ins are available as of April 3rd, which is Monday. And you mentioned yeah, there's like cool little NBA Easter eggs all over the place. Coolest one I saw looking at the previews and stuff was this piece of art that's modeled on the Kawhi Leonard four bounce game winner. It's got the ball kind of tracing the path way up into the air, rattling around the rim and dropping through. I think that looks really cool. And yeah, I was actually kind of surprised by the menu, Jerome. I guess Top Chef Canada / Chopped Canada winner Erica Karbelnik did the menu. There's some interesting looking stuff on there, but not a lot of NBA puns. You know, when I'm when I'm looking at an NBA run restaurant, I'm expecting there to be, I don't know.
I want a Stephen Marburger.
Yeah, exactly. Like something like, yeah, I saw there was like a Mavericks margarita or something like that. It was like the Mavericks blue or something like that. But yeah, I'm struggling right now for
the Giannis Antetokounmpo boy.
Exactly. They don't have that yet. Yeah, but maybe they will. We shall see. I'm looking forward to your report, Jerome. Question I had for you, JD. Yeah. If this is the Hard Rock Cafe for the NBA, I know you're a big-time Hard Rock Cafe friend.
Definitely not a fan. Speaking of grudges.
Yeah, you absolutely are. First one in Toronto, I get it. That's where they played the first NBA game back in the day. I saw there was a lot of memorabilia for that. Where will the next one be?
Ooh, that's a good question. The next, so the let's assume that it's successful, which it will be. Because Toronto is a big basketball town now. New York City has to be.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Next to the Garden. That's where the next one's going.
That's a great call. They also had that that property like for their NBA store on Fifth Avenue or whatever like that. Yeah. So, yeah. That seems to make sense.
Is that closed down now? The NBA store on Fifth?
I don't know. No. I'm unsure on that. It definitely could be. Nonetheless, we'll definitely go to one of these at some point and probably make a short out of it. Wanted to ask you one more thing about Toronto, Jerome. I know you went to Will Liu and Alex Wong's live show with Bobby Webster yesterday. How was it?
It was really good. Yeah. Shout out to the guys, the Raptors show, friends of the show. They put on an awesome live show, had Raptors GM Bobby Webster on with them, and surprisingly candid for a GM. Like, we weren't given anything that was like leak worthy or anything that way, but they talked a lot about like draft process, a little bit about the Kawhi trade, a little bit about all their thought process of Vision 6-9, things like that. My favorite takeaway was during the Raptors bubble, Bobby Webster became the de facto espresso person. He brought his own machine, he made coffee for everyone. And so the guys asked him, who are like the coffee freaks of the Raptors? And he had Marc Gasol up there, a big like double espresso, bitter black coffee guy, but the one that I really loved and took away was Tyler Hansbrough. Psycho T, two espresso shots pre-game, every game, explains a ton.
Yeah, that explains why he never blinked. Yeah. Never closed his eyes for 48 minutes.
Incapable of closing eyes, yes.
So what, I mean, I don't know. I guess once he got into the NBA, he was kind of a grown man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a dominant college player. He must have been doing like four or five espresso shots before those ones. Going completely wild. Great report. Love those guys. We've got one last little piece of news to talk about here. Stephen Noh over at the Sporting News put out a great piece this week titled The NBA is all in on anime. Why basketball's biggest stars are obsessed with Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, and more. Jerome, I know you know anime. Ash, I know you know anime a little bit. I know basically nothing. I just learned how to pronounce Saiyan. Wait, I'm botching already.
Saiyan.
I gotta learn so I can understand these references and know how to pronounce these names when I see them on tweets, because I see them on tweets all the time. So, Jerome, I need you to hit me with your top five animes for NBA Sickos. Top five. All right, let's talk anime, buddy.
Let's talk anime. Now, I gotta say, when it comes to top five anime, it might be even more hotly debated than top five all-time NBA, because there are so many options you can go with. There's so many directions you can go into. I actually wanted to start out very quickly. I mean, it seems like Ben Simmons knew that we were, like, got a hand of in our doc, because last night, I'm not sure if JD has the full screen date, but he wore a Gundam shirt courtside during the Brooklyn Nets game. So shout out to him for promoting us. But
big shout out to Ben Simmons.
When it comes to this list, I had to go in a couple of different directions, a couple of different considerations. Shout out Steve Noe for his article and sharing all the different interests for the NBA players and what they like in anime. I had to go obviously with some personal faves. I'm going to start off with my honorable mention. It's actually my favorite anime. It's Samurai Champloo. It is just like one of the most beautiful animes you can come across. It's mm-hmm. very, like the art is beautiful. The music by New Jabez is incredible. The hip hop on it. Just, I feel if more NBA players got into the show, they would really love it. So I'm going to go there.
All right, sleeper pick for people. I love it.
Sleeper pick. Number five, we're going to start here. This is arguably the anime of no dunks. It's called Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah.
We have a clip that we're going to pull up right now. Resurface.
We absolutely have a clip. Hey, that's me, man. I'm the Titan.
That is Trey as a colossal Titan, although he never knew he was a colossal Titan. He thought he was the big meat man.
I just thought I was a meat man.
The whole time. You thought you were a meat man, but you were actually a colossal Titan. I pulled up from Wikipedia because I just realized when I started thinking about animes, it's actually really hard to come up with a synopsis, like a one-liner for them.
Okay.
But this is what Attack on Titan is. It is set in a world where humanity is forced to live in cities surrounded by three enormous walls that protect them from gigantic man-eating humanoids referred to as Titans or Trey Kirby's. The story follows Eren Yeager, who vows to exterminate all the Titans after they bring about destruction of his hometown. So this is like one of the, I don't know if we'll call it more recent picks, but it is an incredible show. The drama, action, art, everything about it is so, so good. Uniqlo just dropped a big Attack on Titan clothing collaboration set.
Like a meat
season
suit?
Season 3 is coming out soon.
Like a Uniqlo meat suit?
No, that's an exclusive 101, unfortunately. But yeah, no, it is a really good show.
Is it scary? I feel like I heard people saying it was a little scary.
It could get graphic. It gets on the like scary side, I guess you can call it that.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, okay. Like gory,
you
scary.
You don't want your daughters watching.
It's not for children, yeah.
Not yet.
No, I'm asking, this is pure grown man knowledge here.
Yeah,
there you go.
We got a trip
coming
up, and I want to watch an anime on a trip.
Season 1 on Netflix.
Of this list, it's weirdly, this is the most normal one. You know what I mean, Jerome?
Okay.
Is that fair to say? Like, it's pretty. I mean, it's crazy.
Like,
what do you mean by normal?
That it's grounded. I see what you mean. I get what you mean by it.
It's there's the least amount of what is going on here. You know what I mean?
I think the next pick actually is going to be our most grounded of them. Number four, it's kind of like you can't talk about a basketball anime without mentioning Slam Dunk. So there's Slam Dunk there. I am fully going to admit myself that I have not actually seen Slam Dunk, but I have obviously been very aware of its lore. We'll hold on this shot right here just because one thing I love about this, if you look at all the art, like look at their shoes that they have. They actually give them all like real Nike shoes, Jordans, all that. Mm-hmm. It is really like such a great capture of its time. Rated one of the best animes in history. You really can't do a NBA sicko list without mentioning the basketball anime, and that's Slam Dunk right there.
It's all about a basketball team.
Yeah. It's all about a basketball team. The one-liner that I
guess
have
this
here,
had to make the list.
it tells the story of a basketball team from Shohoku High School in the Shonan area of Japan. That is the one-liner for Slam Dunk.
I think I've seen like a clip of this before, and it was crazy. Dudes, like, you know, when you anime eyes, I'm just gonna make up a verb there. Animize.
Animize.
When you animize basketball, this is exactly what you would think it would look like, honestly. Like, it's just so. I don't even know how to describe it. But it was interesting. I saw, like, I don't know, a couple minutes of it.
Kind of surprising. It doesn't come up at all in Steven's piece over at the Sporting News.
Really?
It's an older one, so I think like in some ways it kind of falls a little bit under the radar. Also, like when you think about anime, you're thinking about like maybe more fantastical situations, like, you know, what we have with Attack on Titan, some of the ones that we're going to name on here. So Slam Dunk is almost – it is a Slam Dunk. It is so obvious to be a basketball anime.
Put it on the DVD case.
It has to be on there. Number three, I love this one so much. It is One Punch Man. One Punch Man. What JD mentioned, ridiculous premises. One Punch Man tells the story of Saitama, a superhero who can, because he can defeat any opponent with a single punch, grows bored from a lack of a challenge. So,
I get it.
Honestly, if I was recommending something that is light, short to watch, easy to consume, and very silly, I think One Punch Man is going to be up there as one of my options. It is like, it's the kind of thing that also kind of works as like anyone who's into Marvel, superhero movies like DC, anything like that, because it does tackle the notion of essentially Saitama is like Superman if Superman was super bored because nobody can defeat Superman. Except Saitama is like so powerful, and you'll see. Not spoiling too much, he literally does throw one punch at any given villain or adversary and takes them out completely. And so for someone that powerful, how do you deal with it? It is also its own kind of like self-referential on the like tropes of anime where, you know, characters are constantly powering up. He is, well, the most powerful and unstoppable. So One Punch Man, fantastic.
Is it a funny one? Like,
it's funny.
We're talking
it's
comedies.
Funny.
Nice.
Yeah. Ash, have you seen One Punch Man? You must have heard of it, though.
I've heard of it. I've seen, like, an episode, maybe. All of my family and friends, they love One Punch Man. They love all these animes that you said so far, except for, well, yeah, all of them, actually, so. But I have not dove in yet.
Yeah, big hit in our house, One Punch Man, for sure.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, number two.
Number two, it may be considered the GOAT of animes. It is Dragon Ball.
It is the GOAT.
It is.
Ash is fired up. Here we go. Crossfire.
Here we go. This one, it's such a long-running series that like it is actually very difficult to like give you the one-liner, but shout out again, Wikipedia. The series follows the adventures of protagonist Son Goku from his childhood through adulthood as he trains in martial arts. He spends his childhood far from civilization until he meets a teen girl named Bulma, who encourages him to join her quest in exploring the world in search of seven orbs known as the Dragon Balls, which summon a wish-granting dragon when gathered. Along his journey, Goku makes several other friends, becomes a family man, that's questionable, Piccolo's the real father, discovers his alien heritage, and battles a wide variety of villains, many of whom also seek the Dragon Balls. Now, this is arguably like the Jordan of animes. When it comes to anyone mentioning anime, I think you can't mention anime without mentioning this one.
Sure.
Early days of the internet, big like anime music videos. I personally loved Vegeta's at AMV to the tune of Blink-182's Adam song. It's an incredible banger. May have inspired me to become the editor and producer that I am today.
I love it.
But it is, yeah, no, like, Esh, I'm gonna toss the rock to you. Talk to me a little bit about Dragon Ball.
Well, first of all, I think you said, like, it's the Jordan of...
okay.
I would even compare it to, like, what Magic and Bird did for the NBA is what Dragon Ball did for anime and America.
Save the game?
Yeah. Because, like, I think they tried to port Dragon Ball over one time and it didn't work. And then Toonami, which is, like, something that happened on Cartoon Network back in the day, brought it back again, found the right voice actors, and then it took off. And then, like, anime is now what it is over here, you know? So,
that's a great comparison.
I guess, real quick, Jerome, my question is, if Trey's never watched any, like, Dragon Ball or anything, would you start him on the OG Dragon Ball, or would you start him at Z?
I think you start him at Z.
Yeah, see?
That's the thing that's difficult about getting into Dragon Ball, is there's so much Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Like, start and watching a soap opera.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I gotta go watch 50 seasons.
It's like
Survivor, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's the Coronation Street of anime.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's obviously Dragon Ball is huge because it even filtered down to me all through college. One of my good friends was Pat Murphy. At one point in time, he had bleach blonde hair that he like slicked back, gigantic hair. So all through college, we called him Dragon Ball Murph.
Really?
Yeah. That was the closest anime crossover
we had. Super Saiyan.
He went Super Saiyan. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He called it getting totally ridiculous or totally sideways, but I think the same general vibe for Dragon Ball Murph and Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And number one, it is one of my personal favorites. It is one that seems to be such a hit for a lot of NBA players, so you'll see a bit of a collage here. But we're going to go with Naruto. Naruto, also in the Shonen Jump series right there. Let me pull up I love these one-liners so much. These are great. It tells the story of Naruto Uzumaki, a young ninja who seeks recognition from his peers and dreams of becoming Hokage, the leader of his village. And we're going to hold on this here. You see two players who absolutely love it. Zion Williamson on the left. He has a couple of collaborations with Nike Naruto and Jordan Naruto that... Honestly, if anyone from Nike is listening to this, I'm a size 10.5 US men's. Anywhere between a large, extra large, like just, I will take any amount of Naruto Zion wear. And then on the right, that is Jaren Jackson Jr., a man, and in this case, a Hokage, as he described to the room there, a Hokage being the chief of his village. After coming off a huge game, he said, I'm feeling like a Hokage. He's feeling on top of the world. If you see him over there, if you look at that Naruto photo in the middle, you can see the Hokage on the right there, and you can see where the likeness is. He's not doing some sort of play on Tyler, the Creator, with an oversized hat. He is being a Hokage. Naruto is one of, if not Dragon Ball, I think that's also up there as one of like the real greats out there. Incredible stories, stuff that I think, yeah, a lot of NBA players kind of take from. I was thinking about it this morning. Game 6 LeBron who lost his headband, that's Rock Lee who drops his training weights and becomes like super powered against Gaara. I see Esh there, a little smirking at that. And then Esh, I mean, like, talk to me about Naruto.
Okay, so I tried to watch Naruto back in the day when it was on Toonami, so I was a child. And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. I got through like the first season, but then I just had to go back to Dragon Ball.
You gotta stick with Naruto.
I'll probably finish at some point. My sister is always getting on me because...
Have you ever gotten into the Chunin exams? Like, once you get there, everything takes off.
I don't even remember. Like, my cousin is the biggest Naruto fan, I think, ever. He's the guy that always corrects me when I say Naruto, and he's like, no, it's Naruto. I'm like, dude, I'm from Georgia. I'm gonna pronounce it how I wanna pronounce it. But, I don't know. I feel like, you know, obviously they took a lot of inspiration from Dragon Ball, but...
Naruto and Sasuke, are they the Magic and Bird, maybe? Are they Jordan and Isaiah? Yeah. Like the blood rivalry. Who knows? Yeah. No, it is one of the greats. That is our number one. There are, again, like I said, so many. Like, I did not mention One Piece.
Seen a lot of people in the stream team saying One Piece.
It's got like a million episodes though.
Death Note, huge one, two. Inuyasha. Like, there's so many animes. Gundam, we mentioned at the top there. Hunter x Hunter. Like, just Demon Slayer. Is that the one? Yeah, there's, like, so many. I think part of, like, the list here was, like, inspired by Stefano's article, just because there had been so many references. We mentioned Dragon Ball before. Rudy Gobert, once... I'm not here for fat shaming, but I suppose if you compare them to the character Majin Buu, I suppose that's kind of a funny take on it. But no, there are a lot of different options here. Esh, I know you took exception to this list. I want to know, is it the listing? Are we missing something here? What's going on?
Your list is 95% correct. It's just it's just the Dragon Ball should be number one. It was my only qualm. That's it. I'd swap those two.
I'll give you that. I think the factor in terms of NBA sickos is just that Naruto seems to be having more of an in with NBA players. And it might just be that it's slightly newer. It was still running a little more recently that allowed a lot of the current crop of the generation of NBA players to get into it. But beyond that, no, it's hard to deny Dragon Ball is like one of the best, if not the best. Mm-hmm. And still, I mean, like Dragon Ball Super Heroes that just came out recently. Right. Incredible movie. Right, yeah. Right. Like, so no, there's a lot of things to go into here. Trey, I don't even know where to get you started. I think Attack on Titan or One Punch Man might be good in the sense that they're more digestible. Mm-hmm. Just because a lot of the other ones that we would...
Here in the list, those were top of mind for me to find one episode each for the flights, like, to, you know, to Houston and that kind of stuff. Like,
yes,
I have a chance to watch it then. I wouldn't mind checking one of these out.
Yeah.
Maybe an episode of each one of them. I got to know about Attack of Titan after you put me into it. I got
to
know what's going on there.
That's the one that
One Punch
seems
Man
to make
just seems
sense.
like a light, fun one to me. I don't know if it's true, but I mean, it's about a guy punching people, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. Nonetheless, a great top five, Jerome. Stream team's going crazy for it. Esh is going to fight you next week, I do believe. But I think we can turn that into a battle somehow, right? Like, you guys are going to go Super Saiyan.
Yeah, a little Goku versus Naruto right there.
I'll come in next week. I'll be in the studio, black hair on Wednesday. Thursday, I'll bleach it overnight. Oh, Bleach also is an anime that is actually one of my favorites. That I did not put on there, but Bleach is incredible. They have a current arc that's completing that the 1,000-year blood feud, I think it is. Oh my god, so good. But yeah, we can go on and on about anime on basketball podcast.
Yes, indeed we can. But appreciate the top five list. We're gonna take one last break here, and when we get back, we got pick and payoff. We got rapid fire.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Back with no dunks, super size show today.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be an easy one, huh? No, we're going 2 hours straight. Hopefully not, because we do have another podcast coming a little bit later today. Let's talk about the pick'em payoff. People were hating on us for the pick'em payoff. Said ever since somebody ate Arby's, they stopped doing it. No, we just don't have any good ideas right now, but someday we will. This one is brought to you by BetMGM. The results from last night, Skeets and Tass had the Lakers to cover a 1.5-point spread, and they certainly covered that. Gave me a loss, so that moves Skeets' record to 11-10. I'm sure he's very excited to be over 500 right now. Tass is at 7-14, and I am still atop the leaderboard at 12-9. Here are tonight's picks. Only two games on the schedule. This is the spiciest one. The Boston Celtics travel to Milwaukee to play against the Bucks, who just had a huge win last night. Skeets and I think the Bucks will cover a 2.5-point spread. Tass gets the Celtics because I think he was probably still asleep when we made these picks. And we can't have three of the same deer head on the graphic. That would be ridiculous. What do you think, Ash? Who's going to win this game?
I got to go with Boston because you know I'm a Celtics fan.
I do know you're a fake Celtics fan. How are you a fake Celtics fan anyways?
A fake Celtics fan?
Well, I know you're a Hawks fan. You're okay. A Hawks fan.
Look, like I put it the other day, I am a Celtics fan who cheers for the hometown Hawks.
Respect.
But it's because when I was getting into watching NBA basketball when I was in 7th grade,
yeah,
that's when they just got KG, they just got Ray Allen,
yeah.
And I was like, man, I gotta find a team that I want to win, and that was the Celtics.
Well, you made a good choice back then.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy, though. So you said 6th grade, you were 11 years old. That was the last time the Kings made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You really got into basketball in 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen the Kings in the playoffs.
I mean, I watched basketball,
sure,
but yeah, I just didn't follow it. Like, the way I follow basketball now is I started that in, like, 7th grade.
Yeah, Super Saiyan mode.
Yeah, Super Saiyan mode.
I get you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's answer some rapid-fire questions. This should be nice and quick. Yesterday's Tweet of the Night seemed to show former WNBA player and Atlanta legend Renee Montgomery at a Hawks game totally alone. No other fans can be seen. You can't see anyone at the scorer's table. Looks like there's nobody but her watching Donovan Mitchell shoot free throws. Great way to see a game. What is something you'd like to see as a private solo show? Jerome, what you got?
First off, I want to start this by saying when you said private solo show, I was incredibly uneasy with this thought.
Yeah.
In so many different ways. I don't even know if I want... Because, like, if it's a concert or performance or anything like that, like, it's just so awkward to be, like, the one person watching.
100%.
So I'm trying to figure out, what is my angle to go in? And I think my angle is, like, what was a place where, you know, normally people weren't able to go and I could be the solo person who got to view it? And I chose, with a time machine, the 1992 Dream Team scrimmages. I want to sit there as the solo person in there. I'm going to call it my show. I know I get to really get to the bottom of not just like everything that they said to each other, but probably all the shit talking that Jordan apparently might have said about Isaiah Thomas, even though he wasn't there. So I think
still talking trash, even though he wasn't
there.
He
was definitely talking trash about it. So that's my pick.
Great answer. What about you, Ash?
Even though Jerome just said, like, no to concerts because that'd be weird, I would definitely go to a Paramore concert, actually.
Ooh.
Just because Hayley Williams and – sorry, Courtney, but you know. Hayley Williams is like you know? So I just get to sit there and watch her. She probably put me on stage. I get to be up there with her. It'd be great.
What song would you want her / them to play?
Ooh.
Only Exception. It has to be Only Exception.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if she was singing that to me. If she was singing that to me, like just singing that while we were right there. I'm just playing. I love you, Courtney.
JD, what private solo show are you seeing?
Yeah, well, I'm the same as Jerome. So just the idea of being alone and getting a musical performance, to me, it would just be so creepy and weird. So, but I did pick a music thing, and I'm kind of taking Jerome's answer and making it musical, and I'm... Now, listen, I just sat through 15 minutes of you guys doing anime talk, so I'm going to geek out for just a second. And I'm going to show you a clip of basically what I mean. And it's John Williams composing. It's him composing the score to Empire Strikes Back, and it's him talking to the you may have seen this clip, Ash. He's talking to the orchestra liaison,
yeah.
And it's from basically going from his head to the actual orchestra, and when he hears it for the first time played back to him, it's an incredible moment. I'm going to play it for you now, so here it is.
So here, 25 seconds, point 1, some little objects float by the window, and the strings would be sustained here, but if the celeste, sounding loco, I think, Herb, sounding loco here, like that, at exactly 25 seconds, point 1, that way, with two clarinets there, leaving the flutes free to play piccolo, three piccolos at 36 seconds as we see these bats, and it's suddenly presto, with four piccolos doing sextuplets about as fast as they can do them.
Oh boy.
This is officially the dorkiest episode of No Dunks ever. But that's what I want to be. It could be present day. John Williams, guy's over 90 now, and he's still a legend. And just to see him create from writing it on the page, which he probably still does, to the orchestra. I just want to be in the room.
I'm with you, JD.
I'm changing my answer. Because
I think when I was going through this, one of the things was like to be fly on the wall as like something truly spectacular or iconic was being made. So, I fully am on board.
Watching musicians create something is just like incredible. There's that scene in that Beatles documentary when they're writing Get Back, and just like comes from messing about, and suddenly it's a hit song. Incredible stuff. Wild to see him doing it for a movie, talking about like the plot points of the movie as well.
Totally. Right.
But I'll say four piccolos doing sextuplets sounds like a different kind of private solo show, JD.
And then either way, I'm rock hard.
All right, here's a real thing I read this week. A giant meatball made from flesh cultivated using the DNA of an extinct woolly mammoth has been unveiled at a science museum in the Netherlands. Apparently, the meatball was made of sheep cells inserted in with a singular mammoth gene called myoglobin. As we all know, when it comes to meat, myoglobin is responsible for the aroma, the color, and the taste. Guys, when is a time that science went too far, Jerome?
Green ketchup.
That's a thing?
When I think it was a thing, I don't know if it made it across the border, but I know one time, I can't exactly recall when, they decided, you know what, let's make the ketchup green.
Yeah, I remember that.
No science. You've gone too far. I will not accept this condiment that is on the opposite end of the spectrum of Christmas colors. This is not the thing to do.
Green ketchup looks disgusting.
Green
tomatoes.
I know, but it looks nasty.
Huh? Yeah, and also green tomatoes aren't as good as red tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean, it's so stupid, too, because kids already love ketchup, and that's what it's for, right? So it's like, wow, we want to encourage kids to eat more ketchup. They love it already. They absolutely love it. So it's the stupidest marketing thing. I agree 100%, Jerome.
Ash, when's a time that science went too far?
JD, you got the video?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see this right here. This is what I'm talking about. This is a time that science went too far.
I forgot my tools again.
All right. For those listening, this robot, right? Well, now, this robot can jump and walk and has his own mind. Like, this is ridiculous. And the people that are making these robots and the new AIs that help us do everything, have they ever seen Terminator? Have they ever seen iRobot? That's exactly right. Have you seen any science fiction movie ever made? Because look, like this robot is going up the stairs carrying the tools to this guy, and there's like a billion videos of this, like, we're not going to watch the whole thing. But he flipping off of things and jumping. It can do a Ninja Warrior course. That's insane. That's insane. They're too smart.
I agree. Boston Dynamics?
Boston Dynamics, right?
Every video is a little bit scary. And I don't know why they made the robot android walk with like a slightly sneaky gait.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? It's not just strolling. It's like sneaking at all times. Like it's trying to make no noise because it's coming for you. You're
scary.
Right.
Scary.
It hasn't gone too far yet. but it's just a matter of time.
I would like these robots to perform any number of draft combine exercises.
That'd be great to see.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. That just like push the limits of science. Just like, you know, a robot with a 100-foot vertical.
See, next All-Star Weekend, we should have that do the skills challenge.
All right. Teams have to enter their own robot.
Yes.
Did we just fix the NBA All-Star Weekend?
There you go.
100%.
Putting robots in
robots versus humans, NBA skills contest. I love it.
JD, when did science go too far?
It's a shake weight. Just plain and simple. I'm sure it works, but you look ridiculous.
The oscillations.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting the muscles you never knew you had, but the wanky-wanky motion is, it's too much. You've gone too far, science.
You think they came up with the motion or the weight first? Hard to say.
It's a great question. Yeah.
Final rapid-fire question. The New York Times recently reported on the enduring popularity of Crocs. According to the Times, people started buying Crocs during the pandemic, and now they can't stop. Even JD got his pair that he was talking about last week. So, fellas, what's something you started during the pandemic that you haven't stopped? Jerome.
Trash reality television.
Ooh, nice.
I avoided it for the longest time, and then the pandemic happened. I was temporarily furloughed from my job, and I watched, over the course of 48 hours, back-to-back Tiger King and Love is Blind. Oh.
Classics.
And I've never been the same person since.
So you haven't been, you're still on the trash TV?
I'm still, yeah, so like there's been Love is Blind, Love Island, Are You the One, I had a couple seasons of The Bachelor during the pandemic in there.
You're heavy on the dating shows, it sounds like. Mm.
It was heavy on the dating shows. I didn't realize I was such a spicy person. Until, like, you really figured out a lot about yourself during the pandemic. You look at yourself in the mirror and like you just want to see relationships be their most toxic, apparently. And so, yeah, that's definitely what happened to me during that time, and I haven't been the same since.
Great answer. Amazing. Ash, what about you?
Yeah, this was an easy one for me. Eating. Overeating. The pandemic
just started, never stopped.
It's ridiculous.
That was my second answer. Yeah.
I got married right at the beginning of the pandemic, and then you know, right after that my wife got pregnant, and then we had the pandemic. No gyms. Can't go work out, can't go play ball, none of that. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I gained like 30 pounds. Now I haven't gained any more. I've maintained it all.
There we go.
But
we go.
I haven't lost any either. So
yeah, that's all right. You still got the Tom and Jerry.
Yeah,
that's the good part. Yeah. Tom and Jerry. You still got the mouse in the house. JD, how about you?
Yeah, mine's food related as well. Nutella. I've rediscovered it during the pandemic, and now it's a major part of my life still. Hence the weight that I
had a Nutella croissant right before this episode.
Oh yeah,
there's no bet. That's like a death row item for me, right? Like
Nutella
final meal croissant, like a toaster croissant with Nutella. Oh my god,
incredible!
So good.
Yeah, sounds good. And you know it's healthy because they put an orange on the front. That's part of a complete breakfast. Yeah.
Well, it's easier when they say like it's like hazelnut based, so you just assume like, oh, you know, nuts. It's a trail mix.
Yeah, those are good for like, you. Protein.
Snacks. Yeah,
packed with protein, nuts, vitamins, minerals. Amazing.
It's delicious. Delicious, delicious spread, if you will. And those were some delicious answers. What a show. What do you think?
I think it went pretty good. I hope it went good.
Yeah, rate yourself right now.
7.5.
Way higher, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
7.6. Jerome, what about you? How do you think you did?
It's over 9,000.
Oh, that's a great answer. That's a great answer.
Great stuff. Great show. This is actually our last No Dunks episode of the week. We have No Buffs a little bit later today with Jason Concepcion. We're going to try and go live at 1 p.m. Eastern. If you watched Survivor last night, should be fun to talk to him. Kind of had a dorky show today. We might have a dorky No Buffs as well. They were talking Star Wars. They were talking Lord of the Rings. They were talking Pokemon last night on Survivor.
Really?
So we got to get Jason's take on that because, you know, he's deep in the game as well. Tomorrow, no dunks tomorrow morning. But I hear there may be a No Dinks dropping in the feed.
Yeah, we might drop a No Dinks. There was a big tournament over the weekend at Daytona MLP 2023. Very exciting. Rachel's been bothering me to do a podcast. So
there we go.
And there's nothing happening tomorrow, so we might drop that in the feed.
Excellent. Stay tuned for that one. On Saturday, we'll be re-releasing Fast Friends 4 from Fast and Furious. Not The Fast and The Furious, which was the first right. one of those movies, but the fourth one where things really turn into an action franchise, mm-hmm. I would say. And we hit a new era in the Fast franchise. So that will come on Saturday. If you are in Houston or somewhere in Texas or you want to make the trip out, we've got a live show Monday, April 3rd at 6 p.m. Houston time. That will be our show on Monday. We're going to have no daily show the morning of Monday, but we're hoping to stream that one. Am I right here?
Yeah, that's the plan. We will be live streaming it. But you got to come. You got to come and drink a neutral.
Come have a neutral?
I think it will be flowing. I think they're actually giving some out, so.
The neutral will be flowing?
El Neutral will flow.
Awesome. Laura was having a strawberry lemonade one last night. She's like, these are good.
Yeah.
I said, would you drink it outside at a pool? She said, absolutely. So there's a recommendation for
there you.
Go. That will be my contribution to the neutral throwdown when we're talking at it. So that'll be, I guess, what, 7 p.m. Eastern will be when it's going live on YouTube, though we'll probably be a little bit late to, you know, get the crowd fired up. No show next Tuesday, and then the bros are back in town on Wednesday. Jerome, you're going to be here in Atlanta, right?
I'm joining you in Atlanta.
You're going to be sitting in this very seat. I will be in Florida. You going to use my hoop while I'm gone?
I mean, send the address.
I'll
definitely make sure that mesh is hot. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Make sure to follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, anywhere else at No Dunks Inc. You can subscribe to The Athletic for $1 a month at theathletic.com/nodunks. Great way to get the best sports writing in the world. Also, you can listen to every one of The Athletic Podcast Network's podcasts with no ads. That's how I listen to basically everything that's on The Athletic Network, to be quite honest. Anything else, you guys?
Nope.
That's
crushed it. What a day. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Forgot to ask, does anybody have like a cool anime-related quote to send us out?
Thanks for joining us. And just remember, guys, if you train every day as hard as you can, you still won't be able to become a Super Saiyan.
Don't Banger. Break. Banger. Embrace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.